sixth Iker, the sixth principle. And there is the sixth principle, just, you know, the first word here, Yesoda Shishi Hanevua, prophecy. There are a lot of different tangential topics to talk about in this area. This morning, I just want to focus on the central theme of what the Rambam defines as the Iker, which we'll see is less involved in prophecy per se. We'll see in a moment. But we'll talk about it. You know, the first thing we like to try and do is to explain, to try and figure out why this is something which is fundamental and how this fits into the framework of the Ikrim. I just want to kind of pinpoint what the idea is here. Is it still? Oh, it's okay. I just want to kind of pinpoint what's the focus of the Rambam, kind of by contrasting it with a different presentation, which I think misses the point. But we'll see. Let's first see the Rambam inside. So the Rambam says, you can have one too. The Rambam says, Hayesoda Shishi Hanevua, the sixth principle is prophecy. Vehu, La Da'as Shazeh HaMin HaEnoshi, this race of mankind, Yesh Sheyimtzu Bo, Ishim, Ba'ale Kishronos Mefusachim Ma'od V'Shleimos Gedola. There can be found among them men who are of very talented and very opened up, very accessed into the realm of Shleimus Gedola, of great completion, of great perfection. V'tiskoni nafsham achi mekabelas tzuras haseichel. And they have prepared themselves, they've perfected themselves to the point where they're able to receive this idea of a supreme intellect. I'm going to skip a line here. It says, V'ye'atzel aleihem mimenu atzilus shefa, and they get a shefa, a spiritual energy from Hashem. These are the Nevi'im. Ubir ha'yesod hazeh, b'shleimus ye'arich ma'od. To fully explain this idea of Nevuah, of how Nevuah works, would be a very lengthy process. Ve'ein matarasenu pirut kol yesod mehem ubir darchi yidiyaso. And says the Rambam here, and we'll see this borne out again in the next Iker, the Rambam says that my purpose with these summary of the Ikrim, of the principles, is not to explain each one fully, to not go into all of how everything works, but it's just Elanis Naskiram Bederch Hoda Bilva, just inform you what the Ikrim are. I'm not going to explain fully how each one works, the technical aspects of working each one out entirely. He's just going to tell you what they are, and the details are much more complex than what he's explaining. And the Rambam in Mor Nevochim goes on for pages and pages explaining the different levels of Nevuah and how Nevuah works and what happens to a Navi when he gets Nevuah, and maybe we'll go somewhat into that in the coming weeks, but as mentioned, that's more of a slightly tangential topic. But the Rambam says that the important thing is just to know that this is a Yesod, and in some versions of the Rambam, there is a section that says that he plans on writing more about this somewhere, which we don't have. But he says he's planning on writing a chibur about this. See, also in the next Rambam, the Rambam in the version that we have it here, the Rambam also mentions that he actually started writing a book about it. But we don't have such a thing. The Rambam canceled it. The Rambam dropped off of that project. Apparently, the Rambam somewhere else, I never saw this, but I saw this quoted. The Rambam says, we mentioned this before, that the Rambam said he was going to explain all of the different deeper ideas in Chazal, but he decided that, you know, Chazal kept it hidden, and he has two options. He's not going to be able to write it in clearer terms than Chazal did, so he's either going to reveal that which Chazal saw fit to be hidden, or he's just gonna be machlif mashal b'mashal. He's going to switch their mashal for a different mashal, switch their way of revealing it in a hidden way with a different hidden way. So what is he going to gain? So either way, we don't have that book. But that's so the Rambam says this is the Yesod here, the Yesod of Nevuah. Now, we're going to come back to the first page in a second. I just want to turn the page and see the Ani Ma'amin.
But, you know, I learned a little bit of Hilchos Yesodei Torah, which mentions Nevuah.
Right, we're going to get to that.
But he didn't even... I don't think he even glossed over the topic here.
What do you mean?
He didn't say that there are, like, the word of Hashem comes to these people. Did he say that?
Nope. Well, he said. We'll see if that's the Iker of Nevuah. But he says, Vayatzi aleihem shefa. He said that they get a shefa, they get some spiritual outflow from Hashem. Right, but hold on.
Is that the word obtuse? It's like
no. So hold on to that point. But so the next page I have the Ani Ma'amin, and just for the sake of completion, I put Yigdal on here. But the Ani Ma'amins were not written by the Rambam; they're of anonymous authorship. As far as I know, and anyone that I've spoken to knows, we don't know who wrote the Ani Ma'amins, but they became ubiquitously included in different versions. In basically the Sidurim of every sect of Orthodox Judaism. They're not written by the Rambam, and each version of the Ani Ma'amins have different mistakes in them. We've mentioned this before, we discussed this in the fourth Iker. They're in the first Iker and the fourth Iker. The Ani Ma'amin, as much as it might be factually true, misses the point of the Iker. So here again, the Ani Ma'amin says, Ani Ma'amin be'emuna shleima, shekol divrei ha-Nevi'im emes. I believe with complete faith that all the words of the Nevi'im are true or are accurate. Right? Now, just going to contrast that with what the Yigdal says. Yigdal, I think, has much more accurate summary of what the Rambam actually said, which is the Yigdal, the Charos, the line of Yigdal about which parallels to this Yesod says Shefa Nevuaso Nisano El Anshe Segulaso Vesifarto, says that the Shefa of his Nevuah he gave to the people of his the chef of his Nevuah he gave to his Am Segula, to his chosen people. We're not going to get into this point. There's absolutely the Rambam himself. We're not going to get into this right now. The Rambam himself, I think those words, El Anshe Segulaso, might leave that out, because the Rambam himself is quite explicit in several places that Nevuah is not exclusive to Klal Yisrael, that non-Jews have Nevuah also. So the Anshe Segulaso part, he might the Rambam himself, but that the point that he focuses on is the fact that Hashem gives Nevuah. The way the Ani Ma'amin says it, the point of the Iker is the accuracy, the truth of the words of the Nevi'im, right? But turn back to the first page for a moment, and the title of today's class was Prophets and Prophecy. The focus of the Rambam's Nevuah is prophecy, but does he talk about prophecy? Does he make any mention of prophecy in the Iker? There's nothing about the Nevuah, the prophecy that anyone says to anyone else. There's nothing about being the truth of the words that the Navi says. The Rambam doesn't even mention prophecy. It's the first word, Yesod HaShishi HaNevuah. But the Rambam's Yesod is not about prophecy. It is about prophets. The fact that there exists such a thing as a prophet. Right? And that is a very important distinction, as hope to demonstrate. But so we're going to get to exactly what is a prophet, and we're going to try and get to why the fundamental point of the Rambam is not the fact that there are prophecies, but the fundamental point of the Rambam is the fact that there are prophets, that there exists such a thing as a prophet. All right, and that's what the Rambam says. He says this prophet is Ladas Shazam Mina Anoshi Yeshim Tubo Yishim. Balei Kishrei, he says that you have to know that there are people who are, you know, select group of people who reach an incredible madriga, and that they receive this shefa from a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
What's Yatzel.
Yatzel means to be manifested, I guess.
Manifest.
It's probably the best word, also, best translation I could come up with.
I don't know if you noticed, but when people sing Yigdal, they
put the word L with the previous line.
Nisano Kale. Is it Kale, or is that Hashem's name, or is that
no? Word? It's the word L. It's the word
like
two.
Towards two.
Yeah, towards two. And my underline actually, I underline right through the bottom dot of the segel, but there's actually three dots under the word, under the aleph of L.
Okay.
But yeah.
Right, because we say Nisano.
Call him
Nisano Ale.
Hmm.
When we're singing it, it sounds...
Yeah, especially because of the way they punctuate it.
Yeah.
All right. Don't worry, 26% remaining. All right. So, we want to try and understand, at least somewhat, the focus of this... What is Nevuah all about? All right, the focus of the Rambam seems to be more about prophets than about prophecy. Or maybe we should say more about... the existence of such a thing as a prophet, and not about the truth or the veracity of the statements of the prophets. So see what prophecy is all about. So the Rambam, I really only photocopied the first page here, in case, depending on how quickly we go, maybe we'll come back to some of the things here. But as long as I was putting it in here, figured I would just cherry pick one or two things from here. The Rambam, the very beginning, the first line of the seventh chapter of Yesodei Torah, the Rambam says the same thing. Yesodei Hadas Leda Shehakel Minabe El Bnei Adam. That the a Yesod, one of the Yesodos of our religion, is that God prophesies to Bnei Adam. Right? Again, nothing about the truth of prophecy, nothing about prophets spreading a message. Just says that God prophecies to people, right?
But this is different from that other statement in Perikat Chelik.
Why?
Because there it says some kind of influence rests on them. Here it's the word Menave, right, means that there's a message that Hashem gives that person.
I mean, not necessarily. It just means that Hashem has communicated with him.
Isn't that the same thing? Message, communication, a note,
not
a
necessarily.
Memo,
not necessarily.
An email.
A communication does not necessarily have to include a message. But the point of the Rambam in this Iker is the fact that Hashem contacts people, right? Which is basically the same thing that the Rambam is saying in Perek Chelek, which is that there are people who are contacted by Hashem. There are people who Hashem communicates with, right? So let's read this one line that I have underlined in Halacha Beis. It's a little bit of getting off into a different area, which we might come back to in next week. But the Rambam says, describing the Nevi'im, he says that Nevi'im have many different milas. There's many different levels of Navi. The kulon ein roen mara hanavua ela b'chalom b'chizayun laila o b'yom achar shetiba leim tardema. That all of them only see their Nevuah after they, either in a dream at night or in the day after they've fallen into some kind of trance. Kamosha Namar Bemara Elav Isvada Bechalom Edaberbo. That when Hashem says how he speaks to every Navi except for Moshe, he says, I'll become known to him in a vision or in a dream, I'll speak to him. Right? So gets more into what I plan on speaking about next week. No promises about a little bit more about the nature of prophecy. But really wanted to see here is just that first line and to turn the page. Halacha Zayin here. This is Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says, Hanavi, Efshar Shetia Nevuaso Laatzmo Bilvad. It is perfectly possible and feasible for the Navi that his prophecy is just for himself. Laharchiv libo ulahosiv daito, to widen his heart and to increase his awareness. Acha yeda mashalo haya yodea me osan advar magadolim. Until the point, for the purpose of that, he will come to know those things, very lofty, great things which he previously did not know. Ve'efshar, it's possible. Sheyeshulach la'am me'ame aretz ol ancheir o mamlacha. It's possible that he might be sent to some nation of all the nations of the world, ol ancheir, or to a certain city, o mamlacha, or to a kingdom. Lechonin osam ol hodia ma ye asu o lamona mimaisim aram raim shebiadeim, or to inform them of what they should be doing, or to prevent them from doing bad. Now, this is not our point here. I just want to point out here in the Rambam, there's a little bit of a difficulty. The Rambam here seems to imply that you can have a prophet who is sent to speak to any nation, meaning even to a nation of non-Jews.
Yonah.
And that the purpose of his prophecy will be just for them, which is going directly against a Sifri. There's a Sifri which says Navi Yamid Lacha, I don't remember the pasuk off the top of my head, Navi Yamid Lacha Hashem Elokecha Mikera Vachecha, right? That it says that Hashem will be a Navi for you, Mikarav Achecha, from amidst your brethren, right? So the Sifri says on that Lecha that Hashem will be Mamid a Navi for you, the low Lacherim, and it won't be for others. So now there are two ways to understand that Sifri. You can either learn that Sifri to mean that all Nevi'im will be from Klal Yisrael, or you can learn it to mean that all Nevi'im will be for Klal Yisrael. They'll be coming for the sake of the Jewish people. Now the Rambam understands neither of those two things. The Rambam says that a Navi could be from the non-Jews, could be a Gentile Navi. And the Rambam also here seems to be saying that a Navi can be for the non-Jews. Now, I said I don't want to get into this. There are ways to resolve the Rambam, but the Rambam on a simple level is a little bit difficult to reconcile with that Sifri.
Well, you need to reconcile the Sifri
with
Yonah and Bilam.
So Bilam is not a problem. Bilam was
he's a prophet not from the Jews, and Yonah was a prophet for the non-Jews.
Right. So Yonah is the one that is really a bigger problem. Bilam, I'm not getting into it now, but there's a whole different discussion about Bilam. But Yonah, so the Mefarshim who understand that who take the Sifri to mean that there will not be a prophet for the non-Jews, point out that the purpose of the Nevuah of Yonah happens to be that he was, well, there's two things. That's very first the simple answer. The simple answer is that Yonah had, that was not Yonah's only Nevuah. Yonah may have also been sent to Jews as well, right? So that the Sifri, all it says is that they won't be exclusively for non-Jews, right? You could have a prophet who also prophesies to non-Jews, to Jews and non-Jews, right? And Yonah, he was a prophet living in Eretz Yisrael. He may have had, we only canonized one of his prophecies, but could be he had hundreds of other prophecies. And so, on a simple level, Yonah's not really a problem anyways, but other Mefarshim say that Yonah's prophecy, even his prophecy to the non-Jews, was for the sake of the Jews, was a nevuah as a lesson for Klal Yisrael, which is really, Midrashim talk about why Yonah didn't want to go deliver his nevuah because Klal Yisrael wasn't going to take the lesson, right? But there are Mefarshim who deal with the nevuah of Yonah that way. The bigger question, not Bilam, but the bigger question is really, we're going to get into either way, but the point is that the Rambam seems to say you could have a Navi that his entire career as a Navi is that he's sent to non-Jewish nation. So there's ways to resolve that also, but we're not going to, that's a side point for this discussion. But in any case, so the Rambam says, which I want to point, the Rambam says, being a Navi, it's the it's possible your Nevuah is just for yourself. It's possible you'll be sent to others to deliver some message, but it's possible that the Nevuah is just for yourself. The Efsher, skipping down to the next underlying section, the Efsher sheye ase os umofis, the Eino Navi. The Zeha os yesh lo dvarim bego, says the Rambam, it's possible that a Navi will perform a sign, some kind of wonder to prove his Nevuah. That's part, we're not going to delve into the halachos of how a Navi proves that he is a Navi, but one of the things that he does is he provides some kind of sign. It's possible that he will perform that sign, and he's not really a Navi. And that really that sign is Yeshul Dvarim Bego, that some kind of, there's something wrong with it, there's something fishy going on, but that he'll perform the sign that he's supposed to perform and pass the test. And it's possible he's not really a Navi. Va'af al pichein mitzvah lishmo alo. And even so, even though there is that possibility, there is a mitzvah to listen to the Navi who performs that sign. Ho'il va'adam gadol v'chacham v'ray l'nevuahu. If, assuming he's a person who is, you know, otherwise qualified to be a Navi, he's a person who, if he passed the Navi test, we would accept him as a Navi, and he performs the sign. We assume that we follow our assumptions about him, that he seems to be a qualified Navi. Cherim says, just like we're commanded to conclude the din, the halacha, justice, to conclude a case according to the testimony of two kosher witnesses. It's certainly possible there's a conspiracy going on here, but holuk sherim heim etzleinu, since we, as far as we know, they are kosher edim, ma'amidino son al kashrusan, we assume, we stand them up on their kosherness, on their qualifying status, and even though it's possible, but the Torah told us to follow that testimony. So even though you might be following false testimony, it's a possibility of following false testimony, that's what the Torah wants you to do, so too by a Navi. By a Navi also, there's the possibility that a Navi who becomes accepted as a Navi is not really an accurate, true Navi. But the Torah told you that's who the Torah wants you to listen to. The Torah wants you to listen to the person who qualifies for the Torah standards of who the Torah told you to listen to. So the Torah has the standards for who qualifies as a Navi that you have a mitzvah to listen to. And that does not mean it's an ironclad, foolproof point, but that's the Torah wants. And it's regarding these things that the Torah says that the hidden things are Hashem's responsibility. Our responsibility is haniglos lanu, is the things that we can figure out, so we have to deal with the world as we see it. And you know what? If there was a mistake, but Hashem told us to follow that way, so that's what we're responsible for doing. The hidden, the actual secret truth behind the matter, that Hashem will take care of that. But the point that I wanted to point out is the Rambam is very clear here that, now to caveat before I even say my point, but that certainly all of the Sifrei Nevuah that we have that are MS, right? We say that in the Bracha, after before and after the Haftorah, right? Asher v'chavim nivim tovim ratzonim v'ratzah b'divrayhem ha'ne'emarim be'emes, right? That the neviim that we have, that the canonized nevuah that we have, we know that's MS. We have that they're testified upon by other neviim. The Chazal verify the veracity of those. So, but it's possible to have a Navi who is assumed to be a Navi and is not speaking the truth. The Rambam, I don't think, the Iker is not Shekol Divrei Neviim Emes. It might be that all of the Nevuah that we have canonized is true, but not everything that someone who you assume is a Navi, that he says, is necessarily true Nevuah. The Rambam here says explicitly you can have someone who is accepted and verified as a Navi and is not really a Navi, right? So the Rambam says that you could have a Navi who is just a Navi for himself. He might be sent to others, might not be, he might be sent to others. But the but the not even necessarily that everyone who we're assuming is a Navi is speaking the truth.
Rabbi,
yes.
In terms of the kind of the fundamental kicker about believing that we have Naveen, right? Is it important for us to believe all these kind of other criteria that the Rambam mentions? Like, for example, say if I believe that another Navi other than Moshe could have like a direct kind of face-to-face conversation with God, would that mean that my emunah is somewhat lacking? Or?
So that's really going to be the next principle, the next yisod. The seventh ikar is the ikar of the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which ties in very directly to the eighth ikar, which is about the authenticity and immutability of the Torah, right? But that is its own discussion is the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But yes, it is
that. Some of these other things that you're mentioning too. I mean, I we'd have to believe in all of these things. It's kind of they're all part and parcel to that main.
Like which things?
I guess some of the things you mentioned about. Or I thought there was something else besides. Receiving the nevuah through a dream or something like that. Was there other criteria?
That's how the Rambam described how. Right. So we've mentioned this idea before. The Rambam in the Ikrim. So as the Rambam himself, slightly different than what the Rambam said here, but that the Rambam in the Ikrim has it's kind of like on two levels. Every Ikr has one point, which is the focus of that Ikr. And how do you know that's true? Because there are some things which the Rambam says are, when the Rambam has something which overlaps, but they're both important to be an Ikr, he splits them into two. We pointed out before that the first two Ikrim, or the first and the fourth Ikr, really they are corollaries of each other. But even so, the Rambam split them up into two separate Ikrim because they're both independently important to know. The Rambam does not stuff into one Ikr two things which he holds are both the primary point. However, within each Ikr, the Rambam provides you the details to know what it is, but not every detail that's in the Ikr is the point of the Ikr. There are some things which are side information which is true and which are relevant to the Ikr, but that, you know, specific fact is not the Ikr. So for example, just a random example, in the 13th Ikr, the Rambam has the Ikr of, in the 12th Ikr, the Rambam has the Ikr of Mashiach. And in the Ikr of Mashiach, it says that there's going to be a Melech who comes up from Beis David. So the Ikr is that there will be a Mashiach. The fact that that Mashiach will be from Beis David, that's true and that's relevant to what Mashiach is, and that's, you know, the broader understanding of what the idea of Mashiach is. That's all relevant. But that's not the point of the Ikr. The point of the Ikr, which is what a person has to know, and if he does not know, he is by definition lacking, deficient in his emunah, is just the one central point of the Ikr. So in this Ikr, that is the point of Nevuah, the point that Hashem speaks to man, or that Hashem contacts and communicates with mankind, that is the point of the Ikr. There are different details here, which are things like, it's the Rambam said, that it's a person who has perfected himself. So that's true and it's important. It's an important part of understanding what Nevuah is, but that's not the Ikr. The Ikr that you have to know is that Hashem contacts mankind. And if you knew that, you don't know that it's only perfect people and whatever it is, it would still be that you're not a kofar for not being aware of that fact. But the point that you have to know is that there is such a thing as Nevi'im, or there is such a thing as Nevuah. Now, get back to what Corey was kind of bringing up. Corey said, you know, the whole point of Nevi'im is the Nevuah that they get, right? So I'm going to see what the Ramchal says, whether or not he agrees with Corey, about what is the main point of Nevuah. So the Ramchal says, this is in Derech Hashem, in Perek Gimel, I'm saying Chelek Gimel, Perek Gimel. So the Ramchal says, Va'amnam, L'mayla mikol zeh, yeshma l'mal acheres, v'hi ha'nevuah. Says he was previously talking about Ruach HaKodesh, and he says that above this level of Ruach HaKodesh, there's something else which is called Nevuah. V'inyana, The idea of nevuah is sheyagia ha'adam v'yiskasher baboreh yisbarach shemo v'yisdabik bo dveikus mamish. That a person will connect to Hashem and cling to Him and attach to himself to Hashem in a very real way. But often sheyargish ha'hisdabkus v'yasig mashum yisdabik bo. To the point that the person actually senses and feels his connection to Hashem. It's not just an intellectual thing, but he actually is, I don't know exactly how to describe it, emotionally aware of his connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he grasps the fact that he is attached to Hashem. Vehine, skipping down to the next paragraph. Iker hanevuahu, what is the Iker, what is the primary point, the central point of nevuah? Hasig hadvekus v'hakesher hazeh, is grasping this dvekus, this connection and this attachment to Hashem, odo b'chayim, while he's still alive. Normally, a person can only do this when after a person is in the next world, when they're removed from their physical body, is the only point at which you can consciously grasp that that connection to Hashem. The Navi reaches a level of connection in which he does that while he is still alive. Shezesh shleimus gadol vaday, which is certainly a great level of perfection. V'ula, however, or in any case, yislav elazeh, it comes along with this as a side effect, a side point of the intense connection to Hashem, which is the primary point of a nevuah, comes along with it yedios v'haskalos, certain pieces of information. Ki amnam yaseg al yedei zeh in yanim amitiyim v'nechbadim ma'od, because certainly it he'll grasp through this connection different ideas and concepts which are true and very significant and important. Misisrei sodosav shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, the things that are the Hashem's secrets, the yasigim bebeiror, and he'll know them very clearly. He goes on to say these, the knowing things like knowing the future and knowing the past, right? Those are things which, as in his very strong, intense connection to Hashem, they'll come along with that. You see the commentary on the bottom here, from Rav Chaim Friedlander. So it says this very clearly. See the Os Tzadi Beis here. The Rav Chaim Friedlander says, "Ulam yislav elazeh yedios vaskalos zerak davar nosaf al etzem madregas hanevuah shehid vekus." This is just a side point. It's an additional factor on top of the essential madrega achievement of a Navi, which is the dveikus, which is the attachment to Hashem. Nimtza sheruach hakodesh biikara zu kabal sedios vaskala. Ruach hakodesh is receiving information. That's really what the Ramchal was talking about before this this section here. That's it is in its essence is receiving information. Ve'ilu nevua ikarahu dveikus. That it's the central point of nevuah is the dveikus, just that it comes along with yedios, that because you have the strong attachment to Hashem, a poal yotze, a result of that, is that if you have such a strong relationship to Hashem, that strong connection with the source of everything, so along with that comes that through that strong connection, you become aware of things that you didn't know beforehand, because you're now tapped into the ultimate source of knowledge, the source of creation. A result, something that comes along with that, yislave imo, yislave lazeh, comes along with it, is this is what we call prophecy. But that's the ikker point, the primary point of what nevuah is about, is not the information that a Navi gets, is not the message that a Navi gets. The primary point is that the achievement of that level of dveikus, which when a person reaches the level where he is fit for it, Hashem will bestow upon him this spiritual energy of a connection to Hashem. And that's what the Iker of Nevuah is that connection. There's one more piece that I wanted to, I was unable to locate this when I was making my source sheet, but I'll just read it in a few pages later in the Ramchal. The Ramchal says this very explicitly. Here, he says, this is in the next parak, this is in parak Dalid of Chelek Gimel of Derech Hashem. He says, Umimasha yagia l'neviim, and that which reaches the Navi, which means that which comes to a Navi, hu heyosam mishdalchem b'shlichus menu yisbarach, is that they can be sent on some kind of mission from Hashem. Vahainu, Ki lozehu etzem hanevuah. That is not the essence of nevuah. Ve'eino mukrach klal benavi sheyishtalach lachirim. It's not mukrach. It's not necessary. It doesn't have to be that a navi is sent to others. You have a navi who's never sent to anyone else. That's something that may happen to a navi. Aval etzem hanevuah kvar be'arnuha. The essence, the ikur of what nevuah is, that we already explained. Shehu histabik bo yisparach, he goes yisparach elav. Is that he clings to, he attaches himself to Hashem, and Hashem reveals himself to the person. Ve'yislav elazeh hayidios vaskalos sheyislavu. And it comes along with that, the knowledge and the awareness, the intellectual achievements that come along with that. So the Ramchal says very clearly, and I think this is exactly where the point of the Rambam is that the point of the fact that there is nevuah, the yisod of nevuah, has nothing to do with the messages. That's going to be an important resulting fact. But the essential point of nevuah, of the ikur of nevuah, is the fact that Hashem makes contact with mankind. There's two reasons why this is a very central, fundamental point. I mean, well, maybe I'll say a third reason. The third reason, which I'm going to say first, even though it's third, is that this is a very important prereq into the next ikar. Right? This is very important basis for having Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, is that there has to be Nevuah in the first place in order for there to be Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Talking about the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah makes no sense if there can't be Nevuah in the first place. But that can't be the entire point of this Iker, because then it wouldn't be its own Iker. It would just be, there has to be an importance of recognizing this fact of Nevuah on its own. So what is that? So there are two possible reasons. And this really gets into, in the time of the Rambam, what the secular philosophers of the time—I don't know who to call them secular—the non-Jewish philosophers of the time, what their issues with understanding, you know, how there could be a Torah and God and all these different things. So there are two issues, one of which we're going to very briefly get into, but that's two problems. God is so holy and lofty and elevated, and we are so lowly, and there is an inherent disconnect between God and us. God is Bashamayim Yima'al, right? He's in heaven, and we're down here. And really, purely philosophical, on a very logical way of looking at things, they're really right. In essence, it makes no sense to have a connection between God and us. For God to contact us really doesn't make very much of the question of, you know, God's too busy for us. That's not really a good point. God, you know, if you believe that God is just like, you know, a very powerful executive, so, you know, yeah, eventually he has too many things to take care of and he has to delegate. But God is all powerful. God's never too busy, right? God doesn't get worn out, and, you know, he didn't need Shabbos because he needed a break, right? That's not really. But the question is that if God is so supernal and he's infinite, how can you have a connection between the infinite and the finite? How can you have such a thing as that God is going to, that we're going to connect to God, that God's going to connect to us? We're opposites. How can you have a connection between the two? That's the one question. And if you don't believe that there could be a connection between the finite and the infinite, then anything which someone, any direction which you're given from someone, there's no such thing as getting hadracha, there's no such thing as getting direction, signs in what God wants from you, if the whole idea of God connecting to creation is impossible. And really, they're on a purely logical level, they're right. It's somewhat of one of those things that we know because it happened. Why do we know there's a nevuah? because we were all at Har Sinai, and the entire nation saw Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore we know that, you know, it for millennia, philosophers had proved through mathematical reasoning that there was no such thing as movement, no such thing as motion. They're called Zeno's kashas, or I don't think they call them kashas. Zeno's paradox. He had three kashas on the concept of motion, and proved philosophically, mathematically, there's no such thing as motion. So what did everybody do? Everybody dead said, "Well, by gee, you know, gee, golly, gosh, these philosophers are useful. I guess we won't be moving anymore." Said, "Okay, I don't understand how it could be that we're moving, but you know, Lemaisa, look, I see I'm moving. So I hear the question, but there's really no question, right?" So the same thing, that it's a very important question, the question of how could there be such a thing as Nebuah, which we'll try to get into a little bit next week. But at the end of the day, we experienced it. It was more than just some guy telling us God had spoken to us. The entire nation witnessed God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the foundation of all Nebuah, of all Nevi'im afterwards. That's what we're going to get back into in the seventh principle. I hear the question, but at the end of the day, it's not really a question like, and therefore, do we have any doubts about it? It's a question that therefore we have to address. You know, how do you mitigate that question? But we know it's true that there's Nevuah. But that was the first point that the Rambam is coming to address, is that can God really have a connection? Can God really have an ongoing communication with mankind? The fundamental point of which is, does God contact mankind? Is that possible for that connection to exist? And that's exactly what they're talking about with the Navi. The essential point of the Navi is not the essential point of the Iker is not the details of the communication which he receives, but the fact that a man could attach himself to God with such a close connection that he is intimately connected with God. That's the point of the Iker. The second question, which we're not going to get into, and this is really part of what the Rambam was discussing when he said that it's, you know, would take way too long to discuss this, is the point of that if God talks to mankind, so does that mean that God, is whatever God tells mankind, was that true when God created the world? Because if it was, so, you know, why did God wait till now to tell the Navi whatever he's telling the Navi? Is this like a new thing that came from God? And if so, is God changing? And if God's not changing, so how come this communication came now and not earlier? So the Rambam has a way of dealing with that question, which is a very long, intricate point. But the Rambam's point here is the same point that, okay, it might be a good question, but at the end of the day, we know there's such a thing as Nevuah. Nevuah is something which is proven and shown to us, the Iker, that the point that God can communicate to man, and it has nothing to do with however it works out, but it has nothing to do with the nature of God's existence. It doesn't prove any, show anything, has any impact on God's being infinite and unchanging. We'll talk about next week about a little bit about the first of those two questions and get into a little bit the nature of Nevuah as the Rambam describes it, as the Ramchal describes it, and that'll be it. We have one more week before the Kollel goes on our Pesach intercession. So hopefully see everyone next week. And Yashar Koach. These source sheets, if anyone wants to keep them, have Hashem's name in them. So they are actual real Shemos.
No, thank you.
So.